Today we shall consider the temptations of Jesus. The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and this broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. I'm Pastor Schulze. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine light on this declaration of thy word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear ones, our text today is from the first chapter of Mark. I want to read to you verse 10 through 13 in this study of this gospel. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and a spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now, looking at all the gospel accounts of this story, we can say that the Holy Spirit was leading Jesus out of the Jordan Valley, where he was baptized, into the mountains of Judah to be tempted. Now, Mark uses the phrase that immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. This indicates to us that there was an urgency for Jesus to go into the wilderness to be tempted. There was an urgency even so in the heart of the Lord Jesus himself to, my friend, meet the devil head on. Evil had to be dealt with. You have to recall that it says in the Epistle of John that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So as soon as Jesus was ordained for his public ministry, with a spirit descending upon him like a dove, as soon as that event was over, Jesus was led by the Spirit to confront the powers of evil. And Jesus had been waiting 4,000 years since the fall of man to confront the devil and to defeat him. This is the first thing, my friend, you need to do when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, either at conversion or in the successive experiences of sanctification. The Holy Spirit wants you to confront evil before you can have a ministry. Evil has to be dealt with. More Christians lose out early in their Christian lives because rather than confronting evil, which they now recognize as evil, they instead, my friend, accommodate evil, or they are diplomatic about the management of evil. Dear ones, when you are born of God and the Spirit of the Lord begins to work in your heart, the first item of business you have after giving your testimony is to confront evil. First, the evil in your own life. When you get off the altar where you made your commitment to the Lord Jesus, you need to stand up and say, for the first time, I'm born of God, or thank God that Jesus has now come into my life. You need to testify. You see, those words have never ever come from your lips all your life, and it's time, my friend, to warm up your lips and to begin to fashion the words of God, the words that give glory to God, and let them fly out of your mouth, giving testimony in the congregation of the saints that you now belong to Jesus. Oh, my friend, this is the first thing you need to do in confronting evil once the Spirit of the Lord has come into your life through your conversion. First, you need to give testimony to God, glory to God for your salvation. But then the next thing the Holy Spirit wants you to do in confronting evil, he wants you to go to a prayer meeting. You've never gone to a prayer meeting in your life. Now you're a Christian. It's time for you to go to a prayer meeting and to experience the power of corporate prayer, of people praying together. And if there is no prayer meeting that you can go to in your church, then you get yourself a prayer partner. At least once a week, get with this person and pray together for the church and pray together for sinners to be saved and pray together for the needs of your neighborhood and the world. Oh, my friend, witness and pray. Thirdly, read the Word. You begin to confront evil when you read the Word of God, because the Word of God is like a sharp two-edged sword, and it's an offensive weapon against the powers of evil. That's the way you need to begin your Christian life. And then, my friend, as the Holy Spirit has taken residence in your life, you want to confront the evil within you, inside of you, because although all your sins are forgiven and removed as far as the east is from the west, you still have a carnal, sinful, self-seeking nature, and you need to be sanctified and cleansed from this nature. And if you do that by the power of the Spirit of the Lord, you will confront evil within you. You will confront pride within you, jealousy within you, selfishness within you, lust and criticism within you. And furthermore, you, when the Spirit of God has come into your life, want to confront evil in your home, in that you will put aside all ungodly books and magazines, and you will never turn that television set again to watch ungodly shows. Or never again will you play ungodly music, because that will bring lukewarmness to your soul. And then, my friend, you want to get rid of all ungodly relationships and replace them with godly friendships. You will tell your ungodly friends that you have become a Christian and that you need new friends who will love the Lord and serve the Lord, who are willing to pray with you and share your faith with you. Because the Bible says that righteousness cannot have fellowship with unrighteousness. Believers cannot have fellowship with unbelievers. But as you tell this to your old friends, your ungodly friends, also tell them, anytime, my friends, you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, knock on my door day or night, and I'll be there to help you enter the gates of the kingdom. So, friends, it says, and the Spirit driveth Jesus into the wilderness. The first business of the Holy Spirit when he gets a hold of you is to declare war on all that is evil, not to accommodate evil, but to confront evil and to conquer it. Now, here, Jesus is at the beginning of his ministry, so if he had not first conquered evil to fight it out and to win, he would have gone nowhere. He never would have become the Savior of the world or gone forth into the power of the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, my friends, there are millions of Christians who have been wonderfully saved, but to this very day, after 5, 10, 40 years after their conversion, they've never confronted evil. They've just accommodated it. And so they have no power in the Spirit of the Lord to be God's workers. So Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness, and this was an environment which was as bleak as could be. You see, our text says he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts. I've been in Israel 19 times, and most of those times I've been in that area of the wilderness where Jesus was tempted. There actually is a place called the Mount of Temptation, and all you see there in terms of human habitation is a monastery, where some monks have lived for well over 1,000 years. But this area was in those days an area of wild beasts. It was so infested with dangerous animals that no one wanted to live there. It was a remote area in the Judean wilderness. It was in an area where no food could be grown and no civilization could survive. It was in an area of very steep mountains and deep valleys. It was in an area of tremendously hot weather in the summer and very cool nights in the wintertime. Oh, dear one, once the Holy Spirit takes residence in your life, get ready for an interesting ride. We read in verse 11 that there Jesus heard the voice of his Father saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then it says, immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. So Jesus went from a heavenly place of comfort, of great joy, and of great approval, immediately to a place of forsakenness, loneliness, and to a place of fierce spiritual warfare. Now, wouldn't it have been nice if there would have been a verse between verse 11 and verse 12 of this text? Would it have been wonderful if he could have gone to a resort area like En Gedi at the Dead Sea and refresh himself and celebrate for a little while after he had the baptism, the new anointing of the Spirit of the Lord? But no such opportunity was given to him, nor was it desired of him. He had been waiting for thousands of years to come to the world and to destroy the works of the devil, and he'd been waiting, my friend. He was ready to go. There was no interest in celebration at this time. Oh, how we like to celebrate these days in our churches, But the Holy Spirit says, let's go on with the business of saving the world, of cleansing the church, and of confronting evil. But the church, my friend, wants to celebrate when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon her. And I've been to so many youth conventions and camp meetings and revival meetings where the band is rolled out and the speakers are tuned up and up, and there's a fiery evangelist who keeps everybody on the edge of their seats, and the whole crowd becomes electrified and magnetized and celebrates, but nobody's sin is really being dealt with. Evil is not being confronted. Friend, Jesus confronted evil, and his Spirit drove him into the wilderness to do so. So there was, first of all, a confrontation at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and if you have not had your confrontation with evil and cleaned it out of every area of your life and that which surrounds you, my friend, you are not ready to be used of God, nor are you ready to walk with God. Jesus confronted evil, and then Jesus conquered evil. He conquered evil on every level so that you and I can conquer evil and never have to say, this temptation is too strong, or that temptation is unconquerable, or there's a legitimate excuse for me having given in to this temptation. I didn't want to give in, but I had no choice. My friend, these excuses are no longer there for us. You and I as Christians can never excuse ourselves when it comes to sin. Never. Because Jesus was tempted in all areas, in every single area possible to imagine, and he conquered in every area. He lives in us, the mighty conqueror, so there is no longer an excuse for any one of us sinning. Period. So we look at this beautiful passage in Hebrews chapter 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, yet without sin. But Jesus was not tempted in those 40 days in the wilderness that he was tempted in the 3 years following during his public ministry. The sum total of it all is he encountered every temptation that is conceivable to man in its essence. He conquered every one of it. The implication is that since he had done that in his own body, he can do it now in your body. Since Christ lives in you, if you're a Christian, this makes sinning unnecessary and inexcusable. This is concurred with by all the apostles who contributed to the New Testament. Take the Apostle Paul, for example, in Romans chapter 6, where he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. He says, God forbid. Let's get done with sinning. There's no longer a need or reason for it or an excuse for it. We have this also in the Epistle of John, the 3rd chapter, verse 8 and 9. It says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. Now, remember, temptation is not sin. If temptation were a sin, Jesus would have been the greatest sinner of all, because he was tempted in all things. Being tempted is not sin, but yielding to temptation, that is sin, and in this area Jesus conquered entirely, and so can you. So, my friend, aren't you glad, as the Spirit of the Lord had refreshed Jesus, as Jesus was renewed and ordained for the ministry, that, my friend, he confronted evil and conquered over it in his own body, and so he will conquer over it in your body as you yield yourselves unto him. To him be all the praise and the honor and the glory. Our text was, and immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Please tune in again next week at the same time on the same station. I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now, until then.